then take roll.
Okay. Let's see. All right, so. All right, Commissioner Buck? You're muted.
Present, I'm here.
Commissioner Doby? No, Commissioner Doby, you're muted.
I'm here.
Okay, Commissioner Faruqi? He needed the link reset, so I don't know if he's quite joined us yet. Commissioner Hamill?
Morning, here.
Commissioner Lee? You're really, really fuzzy. Oh, I think, did we just lose her? Commissioner Lee?
Hi, yes. Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Oh, there you are, Commissioner Faruqi. Okay. Commissioner Matsuba?
Thank you.
Good morning. Here.
Commissioner Nimothy?
Here.
Commissioner Carrie Reynolds?
Present.
Commissioner Mike Reynolds?
Present.
Commissioner Steinberg?
Present.
And Commissioner Wang? No, Commissioner Wang? Okay. All right, you do have a quorum, though.
Great. Excellent, excellent. Welcome, everyone, to the January 2021 meeting of the Orange County Human Relations Commission. We're going to start with an opening quote or reflection, and Commissioner Lee, you have the floor, so please enlighten us.
Commissioner Lee, you're not coming in. Might be having some audio problems.
Why don't we move the opening quote and reflection to the action items so that we have some time to straighten out whatever the communication difficulties are.
Can you hear me now?
So,
yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Now we can hear you. Great.
I have three different types of communication devices, and I've used them all, and I resorted to just using the computer speaker now. So sorry about that. Okay, I do have a quote, and it is a prayer, and it starts with, "Dear Lord, so far today, I'm doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. I have charged nothing on my credit card. But I will be getting out of bed in a minute, and I think I will be really needing your help today, Ben. Please pray for us."
Oh, that's good.
That's great.
I don't like the not having chocolate part of it, though. So hopefully this will make up for not being prepared in December. That's great.
That was great. Thank you.
Very nice.
Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Yes. So item number three is overview of monthly summary of commission activities.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody. I've been reviewing these for the last couple of days, and I'm just amazed at a couple of the numbers here. Just halfway through the year, the police community reconciliation cases, the goal was 20. We're already at 16. So that means that program is being used very well. Community outreach and relationship building meetings, goal was 40 for the year, and we're at 50. That's really incredible. We'll double that at that rate. And then the most disturbing and most important one is letter I, support to hate crime victims. Our goal, I don't know if that's the my word, was 8, and we've already reached out to 44 victims of hate crime or hate incidents, and that's really disturbing and an indication of how important the work of the commission and its staff is. And you can see the hate incidents that we have here all, well, two anti-Asian COVID-related and one anti-Muslim. And it was so, so disturbing. And then the last thing I think that's important to point out is our commission staff in relation to CAIRO, which is the California Human Relations Organizations Board, you know, when we're asked to help plan the statewide convention, that's a statement about what our staff and our commission is all about. So we should be very proud of the work that is being done. So thank you to Norma and to Maureen and to everybody else who's working so hard on behalf of the commission.
Thank you very much, Rick. I have a question about the categories on the contract activity, and particularly, you know, what jumped out at me was the same thing that jumped out at Rick, is that, you know, we have, we've gone from 8 to 44 on support to hate crime victims, and I was wondering if we could add a category or an explanation in there. I mean, did we have, you know, is this solely a function of there being a lot more hate crime victims, or is it also a function of there being, you know, better outreach and better, you know, for one reason or another, more efficacy in reaching out to and supporting the victims who are there? So, for instance, you know, the goal was 8, and we got to 44. Is that because, you know, we based the goal on last year's numbers and the numbers were lower, or was it because, you know, the staff has, you know, been able to reach out to more, and, or is it a combination of those factors? It would help us, I think, to understand what's going on in our county and how effective that we are in reaching victims who need support.
Just
somewhere
so
in the background, a dog barked. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
This is Norma. So, specifically to the goal and the activities matrix, those numbers have not changed in a while. So the goal numbers have not changed since we started with the contract, let me say, 3 years ago. So there might be some changes in how is it that we track and how is it that we measure the outreach and how much we support victims of hate crimes or hate incidents. So that if with the new contract and the bylaws, we might be able to see some changes that would make better sense than what we're looking at right now. Because this doesn't tell the whole picture. In terms of the 44 that we've been able to, that we're tracking now, that's a combination of reports that we've received directly from members of the public to law enforcement and other organizations. And we've been able to connect with some of them. Now, it's really difficult to say if there is the, I think that's it, in our numbers, and just a hate crime, even in the report when we release it, it's really difficult to say, is this an increase in the activity, or is there more awareness in our community about us and the ability of people being able to report and where to go, and that they might be able to get support. So there's always this challenge in being able to say, okay, this is the percentage of the increase of people in terms of awareness versus the actual activity. What we do say, though, is when we're looking at the scope, at the landscape nationally, we are seeing that there is a lot more activity happening. So for us, that's kind of where we compare our data to. It's really looking at what are the national trends, what are the state trends, and what is our local trends. And I think you do bring up a good point in being able to see how we might be able to set up something where we might be able to figure out what is really causing the increase in numbers, and how is it that we are able to better track and be able to tell that story.
Yeah, and I think it might also be good if we're in a position to recommend additional funding. If, for instance, the staff is overwhelmed, let's say that if there's 44 victims who need support and they're getting the support, wonderful. If there's 120 and we're reaching 44, that may historically be a great number. I don't know. That's a little over a third, but it might not be. And that would enable us to evaluate whether we should go to the board and say, hey, maybe we need some help here financially to add to bulk up on staff. I don't know. I'm just saying that if we did have more information, it would help us to better serve the community. And that's certainly not pejorative to say that we're not already serving the community very well. I think that we are, but this additional information might help us to better serve. Why don't we move on to the next item?
Okay. Next is open forum. So if anybody wishes to speak, if you could please hit *9. We actually it doesn't look like we have any attendees anyway. So, can move on.
Jamie,
yes.
I do want to share that I've been getting a couple different text messages that people have not been able to jump on the conference call for some reason.
Oh.
Asking for a passcode, and they enter the passcode that is on that sheet in front of the packet, and it's still not letting them in.
Looks like I got an email from Pat Davis. She was asking me for the... for some reason, it's asking for the password, and it shouldn't. I mean, it's never done that before, because the webinar ID is on the agenda. I did email her the passcode, and it is...
Yeah, I think that's what they said. They've used the number. They never had to use the passcode.
Yeah, they haven't.
And right now, it's asking for a passcode.
Okay. Well, we can come back then to open forum. If you want to email them or text them back what the passcode is, it's 219-438, and I did email that to Pat, so hopefully she can jump on, and we can always come back to open form. 219-438.
Thank you.
We can come back to it.
Okay. While we're waiting to get those people on, why don't we move over to our speaker presentation, and then we will move the open forum until after the speaker.
Okay, so item number 4 is Global Health 365, End Child Marriage and Human Trafficking.
Thank you. So we have a presentation from Rima Ratchasivi. And I hope I'm saying that properly. This is an issue that has been something that has certainly been on the radar screen for me and members of my family. I'm very much looking forward to this presentation. You have the floor. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is Rima Ratchasivi, and I'm founder and president of Global Hope 365. I wanted to thank Fareed for the introduction, for Norma for taking the time, recommending this presentation, and for all of you for thank you for having me here. Let me now share the screen with you, because I know I have 15 minutes, and I wanted to go directly into the presentation. As you know, January is Human Trafficking Prevention Month, and I wanted to share with you great news And the fact that is one of the Board of Supervisors, Doug Chafee, has called us to work with us on a resolution in order to honor January and acknowledge January as Human Trafficking Prevention Month. We did, and I'm happy to report that this past Tuesday it passed unanimously. It was presented by Chair Andrew Doe and Vice Chair Doug Chafee, and it passed unanimously at the Orange County Board Supervisors Board. So that is great news. I started Global Hope 365 in order to end harmful practices against women and girls, such as child marriage and human trafficking. And we do that locally and nationally by advocating for their safety through raising awareness, education, and empowerment. I used to do 10 to 12 speaking engagements in person a month. Now I just do them virtually. We've been able to reach over 300,000 and 348,000 community members. So just that you know, modern-day slavery, there's 40 million people approximately in modern-day slavery, and that includes 25 million in forced labor and 15 million in forced marriage. And one of every four victims of modern-day slavery, unfortunately, are children. And 99% of victims of sex trafficking are women and girls. As far as child marriage is concerned, that is marriage under the age of 18. Unfortunately, it is legal in 46 states in the U.S. It wasn't until 2016 that I knew that child marriage was legal in the U.S. All this time, I thought it was not legal. Back then in 2016, it was legal in 48 states. However, the first state to ban it was Delaware, followed by New Jersey, and May of 2020 was Pennsylvania and Minnesota. So only these four states that do not allow child marriage under the age of 18, with no exceptions. And since between 2000 and 2015, there has been over 248,000 young, mostly young girls married to adult men in the U.S. as young as 12. In California, not only is it legal to marry as a child, but there's no minimum age. So California, along with other nine states, do not have a minimum age. All what you need is parental consent and judge's approval. In addition, California did not keep statistics, along with other 22 states, as far as child marriages or marriages under the age of 18 until 1-1 of 2019 with SB 273. So what have organizations said about child marriage? UNICEF indicated that child marriage before the age of 18 is a fundamental violation of human rights. Our own State Department issued a report in 2016 indicating that it's human rights abuse in other country. And when I say, what about our country? What about our kids? We need to take care of the kids in our own backyard. In addition, the American Medical Association, and I know that there's a couple of medical doctors here, AMA has passed a resolution indicating that child marriage is associated with higher rates of sexually transmitted diseases, infections, early pregnancy, maternal and infant mortality, and of course, divorce compared to women who are married over the age of 21. So AMA came against it. And why do they do that? Because child marriage, it compromises the girl's development by resulting in early pregnancy and often being isolated from the support structure. What moved me was the case in 2016 was the case of Sherry Johnson, and that article was written by Nicholas Kristof for the New York Times. She was repeatedly raped by a deacon in the church at age 10. 11, she got pregnant. Human Welfare was going to conduct an investigation, but the parents and the church got together and they married her off to their 20-year-old rapist. I'm giving you the short version. By 18, she found a friendly attorney, got out a divorce. She had seven kids. So 11 to 18, seven kids. There was no time to go to school. So it limited her opportunity for career and vocational advancement. There's a lot of time that there wasn't food on the table to feed herself because the man would come in and then leave out of her life. It also puts the girl at an increased risk of domestic violence and, as I mentioned, maternal and infant death. And more than 80% of those marriages end up in divorce. And who, before the age of 18, know what their legal rights, what are the practical resources that are available? And most of them, and I've talked to shelters recently here and in other states, they do not allow minors under the age of 18 into shelters. So if they're trying to get away from an abusive relationship, they do not have that luxury. So our we have an action alert, and I urge everyone, the commissioners and everyone who's watching, is to participate in our digital letter writing campaign by going into cacoalitiontoendchildmarriage.org. Also, we'd like you to pass a resolution. We authored a resolution indicating no child marriage under 18, no exception, and I'm happy and excited to share with you that we have already passed it unanimously in five cities in Orange County, starting with Irvine, Anaheim, Newport Beach, Yorba Linda, and Fullerton, and it's pending in 15 other cities and counties. So if you have connections with council members, if you have a relationship with them, let us know. You can go on the website and tell us what city, and we'll personalize it for you. And then also join our coalition, the California Coalition to End Child Marriage. Our also ask, in addition to that, is that you call your member of the Assembly and the Senate and urge them to pass legislation to end child marriage under 18 with no exception, because this is our moral and family values. In addition to social justice, is our compass. And so we need to end this type of child abuse, because it is child abuse. Now let's go to human trafficking. Now, what is human trafficking? Can somebody tell me what is human trafficking? So, okay, it involves fraud, force, and coercion, exploitation, of course, abuse, and commercially benefiting from the use and abuse of another human being. And so, as we mentioned, we have 25 million victims globally. It's a $150 billion crime industry, and it's the fastest growing. And during COVID, with us being shut in, calls to the National Trafficking Hotline, which is very easy to remember, 888-373-7888, or texting to Be Free to 233-733. Basically, calls to the National Human Trafficking Hotline increased by 40% nationally and 30% in San Diego, and that is from the district attorney there, Samar Stefan. California is ranked number one to the calls to the National Human Trafficking Hotline, and that's because we have a very large state. Second, because law enforcement have, and others, such as the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force and other task force in other counties, have been raising awareness about human trafficking, about the difference between prostitution and victims of human trafficking. And in addition to that, San Diego, LA, and San Francisco are ranked by the FBI as the top 13 counties in child trafficking. And that's why the district attorney there, through a grant, $2 million grant from the UBS Foundation, rolled out human trafficking prevention program according to AB 1227 in all public schools in San Diego. And as I mentioned, there has been an uptick in human trafficking. I would like you to watch this video. It's a very short video, but it's extremely informative.
Girls, if they'll park the car outside the school and they see like a group of girls leaving, and they'll see the one girl who's walking by herself, and she looks lonely, and she looks alone, and then they'll sort of figure out a way to befriend her.
Middle schools are being targeted by human traffickers. They prey on these young girls, trying to lure them into a life of endless parties and designer items. However, the reality is these girls get addicted to drugs and most of them don't live past the age of 34.
Did you know one trafficker who has two girls earns about $800,000 cash a year? And that little girl probably has 14 or 15 or 20 men going through her on a daily basis.
According to the experts, the average age of a sex worker is 15 to 16 years old. Roughly 80% of these girls have a history of prior sex abuse. And 90% of these girls are U.S. citizens trafficked in the very communities they were born, which also is a way they are manipulated into staying in the system.
The trafficker will have taken pictures of them. He'll have put her in very compromising situations, and then he'll threaten her, and he'll say, I want to show this to your family, and you know your little brother at home, we can threaten him.
In an effort to potentially identify the girls being trafficked and get them help before they get in too deep, educators are teaching their staff to look for three classic signs. Does the girl have two cell phones? Do they have new luxury items like designer purses and designer shoes? Are they overly sleepy or withdrawn during class? In fact, these are the signs parents are being told to be on the lookout for at home as well.
In fact, I was a keynote speaker at the International Association of Insurance Professionals. And as soon as I finished my presentation, one of the attendees came to me and she said her niece was trafficked this way, the presentation was in Glendale, and the father is a lawyer, the mother is a physician, and she was studying in Georgia, and they came to her with the classic thing is, you're so lovely, you're so beautiful, we're gonna make you a model. And so she was raped at the interview, and then she was put into sex trafficking, and when she wanted to leave, they showed her the video, and they said, we're gonna share that with your family. And then when she really insisted she wanted to leave, they threatened her whole family harm. So she left her room there at college, hopped on a plane, called her parents on the way and said, I'm coming home, I'll tell you what happened when I get there, but please be very, very careful. One of my speaking engagements was with a victim of human trafficking. And she said, at school, she was basically abused by an uncle that her mother and her moving from Hawaii, they then lived with the uncle, and he abused her, and then he made her a victim of human trafficking, and she had to come up with a certain amount of money every day. So she said, well, all the students were going home to eat dinner, I have to hit the streets and bring a certain amount. And she said, nobody noticed anything until my senior year when the counselor said, what are these bruises on your arms? And so there's a lot of examples. And we go through the red flags for teachers and parents, and also for students themselves, for school kids. And so our ask, as far as human trafficking, is increasing the penalty on the buyer, because it's demand and supply. Right now, it's a misdemeanor, and so we would like to increase it to a felony and increase the penalty on the trafficker from a felony to a violent felony. And so we have accomplished so far in so much in our first 16 months, and we held our first annual Human Trafficking and Child Marriage Forum at UCI, and that's when we launched the California Coalition to End Child Marriage. We had the first speaker series at San Mark Presbyterian Church, our first child marriage survivor on July 22nd last year. And I can tell you, some of these survivors, some were 50, were 40, and some were in their 30s. But when they talk about their experience, a lot of them break down and they get emotional, because that trauma will never leave them till the end of their life. We've also been able to reach, through my speaking engagements and other events, over, as I mentioned, 300,000 people. We mailed over 7,000 postcards from our supporting constituents, and now we turn that into a digital letter writing campaign. At the same time, I meet with elected officials and advocating to pass such legislation. So in ending, we would like you to participate in our digital letter writing campaign call and meet your elected official, volunteer, invite us to speak. Let's raise awareness and save lives together. We can do it together. And then, of course, donate or fundraise. You can also follow us at Global Hope 365 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we have a lot of hashtags that you can use. And then finally, I want to thank you so much for your patience and with listening to me. And I would like my specific ask to the Orange County Human Relations Commission is that you partner with us. And we list you as other organizations as a partner under the California Coalition to End Child Marriage, because we need to end this child abuse, and we need to send a clear and loud message to Sacramento that this type of child marriage or sex trafficking or this type of child abuse we will not tolerate, and we need to pass legislation to end it. Share our digital letter writing campaign and resolution portal on your website. If you're able to, invite me to speak at your social and other organizations gathering, the council maybe, and together we can end child marriage and prevent human trafficking. And I want to thank you so much for this opportunity and for giving to me. And let's pass this resolution in other cities and counties, and let's end this type of child abuse.
Thank you so much. That was a powerful presentation. Does anybody have any questions for our guest speaker, Ms. Nashashibi?
This is Mike Hamill, Chief Hamill. Ms. Nashashibi, first I just wanted to say thank you for the very powerful presentation and amazing work that you're doing in our communities to help combat what can only be described as an evil crime. The people involved in human trafficking are simply despicable. You mentioned the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force, and just wanted to also mention that as well. So speaking on behalf of the Orange County Chiefs of Police and Sheriff's Association, you have the entire law enforcement community behind you. You're probably aware of the fact that the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force is a multidisciplinary team made up of prosecutors, law enforcement, victim advocates, and really a lot of counties now, I'm glad to see, have task forces, but Orange County really led the way many years ago, and myself, I have a detective who is a member of the task force, as do many other law enforcement agencies in Orange County, and it's such important work, and you can count on our continued dedication to addressing this horrible crime well into the future.
Thank you so much. I am a member of the task force, and I've been attending all their other meetings. In fact, the first ask, as far as increasing the penalty on the trafficker, came from Sergeant Juan Rivales from Anaheim PD, who's assigned to the task force. So thank you so much for your support and for your continued support. Global Hope, let me emphasize that Global Hope 365 is about prevention. It's about education and prevention, preventing future victims of child marriage and human trafficking. There's a lot of organizations that are there to help victims of sex trafficking, and mostly they're faith-based. But we're about preventing anyone from going through that trauma, because that trauma will never leave them for the rest of their life. So again, emphasis on prevention. And that's why we've been actively trying to fundraise and obtain funds, just like San Diego, to roll out human trafficking prevention programs. We partnered with the Three Strands Global Foundation to roll out that program in Orange County schools. The Three Strands Global Foundation is in 48 out of the 58 counties in California, but neither Orange County nor LA is one of those counties where they rolled out that prevention program. So we're actively working towards that, and we've met with Mary Barkey from the Orange County Board of Education in order to achieve that goal. So any help is really appreciated. It's going to take close to $700,000 to roll it out in all Orange County schools, so if you have any ideas, I would love to talk to you.
This is Fareed, and I want to thank you for coming and addressing the commission and sharing this with us. Very powerful great work that you're doing. It's really shocking and sad to see the statistics and numbers that you shared with us. Just from a statistical, if you just take Orange County or the Southern Cal, do you have narrowed down numbers and how? What is the demographics? The people faith-based or economics or whatever that may be. Is there any more data on this?
Okay, I don't know whether you're talking about child marriage or human trafficking, but I'll address both.
Okay.
As I mentioned, child marriage, both of them actually, it was across religion, socioeconomic status, anything you can think of. There's no discrimination. All do it, and all are victims. As I mentioned, there's a lot of victims that come from affluent families, and it may start with, sexting, what's called sexting, and then sextortion. In fact, I'm on a weekly call on a Friday with staffers from the Senate and the House, the Federal Senate and the House, and one of our visitors was a mother of a 13-year-old son whose first knowledge that he was a victim of human trafficking was a call from her niece saying that your son is thinking about committing suicide. And what happened is that he was trafficked out of his own home through, of course, the internet. And traffickers use chat rooms, game rooms, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. They use all these, and they're very savvy, and they target our kids. And they knew that during shut-in, they were there, and so they were ripe for the picking, unfortunately. So it starts with, oh, can you share something with me? Can you do something for me? And most of the time, they see someone's picture. They think it's someone their own age, and that's deliberate. So they start sending those pictures. And Chief Mike will tell us that if you're a minor and you send such pictures of yourself, that is transmitting porn, and so you could be charged also with a felony. So what the trafficker did is that he kept upping the ante on this kid and asking him to do things and asking him to meet him, and then when he said, I don't want to do that, he said, I'm going to send this video to everyone in your school. And of course, the kid didn't believe that, and that video went to everyone in his school, and that's why he wanted to commit suicide. So it's across, as I mentioned, all religions, all socioeconomic backgrounds. As far as human trafficking, as I mentioned, California has the number one calls to the National Human Trafficking Hotline. Both the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force, each task force keeps statistics. As far, let me go back to child marriage, sorry. Child marriage, we never kept statistics in California until 1-1 of 2019. We tried to get that report from the state, and there wasn't enough data in it. So when we pushed, the state said the counties need to provide it to us. I had someone approach the counties, we approached the larger counties, and they said the state has to ask us for that data. So it became, they need to provide it, they need to ask us, and that's what's happening. I've asked the Summer Stefan, the district attorney in San Diego, she was a guest of 1 hour of our coffee meetup, if she can approach the county clerk in San Diego and try to get information from them. And someone is trying to get me a meeting with our own county clerk to see how many child marriages did we have in Orange County. So that's a long answer to your very concise question. I also worked with a professor from USC who gave me data from the last census, not the most recent one. And there was a big, big difference between the report we got from the state and the data we received from him. And I'm in the process of asking him for an updated data because legislators want that data also.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Good work.
Any other questions from commissioners for Ms. Rashashibi?
Rima, this is Addie Namathy. I'm with the School of Nursing at UCI. And I have to say that the education in the schools is so critical. I mean, we do it at the university level, but having it geared to these young adults is so important. I'm happy to see it. And nurses are also trained as students to understand how to recognize these young youths when they come into emergency rooms, etc. My question is related to the states that have overturned this already. What were the successes? What were the indicators of how it happened? Was it just a matter of the votes or the signatures that you're asking, or was there anything else?
No, I don't know if I understood your question correctly, but they need to pass the state, as far as child marriage, they need to pass legislation, both for child marriage and for increasing the penalty on the demand side, basically punishing demand and the trafficker. So a legislation has to be passed.
No,
so
but what enabled that to be successful? Just that's my question.
Is basically calling all the senators and assembly members and saying we need such a legislation to pass in order for us to get the majority for that legislation to pass. So we all need to call them. If they hear from all of us saying this is what we need, mm-hmm. then it will pass. We have to call all of them. As you know, staffers have to give a report to their elected officials every day about how many calls they received on each topic. And I just wanted you to know that our first town hall meeting happened at UCI. It was at UCI Law School, and we did that, the Human Trafficking and Child Marriage town hall meeting happened. We co-hosted it with the UCI Initiative to End Family Violence. And so, yeah, thank you for that. UCI is a leader in such educational and outreach initiatives.
Now, any other questions for Ms. Rashashibi?
Yes, this is Dr. Reynolds. I have a couple of questions, actually. First of all, thank you. As everybody, we thank you for all that you're doing in regards to this serious problem. First of all, I'd like to say I'm very happy to hear that you're working with Mary Barkey in the Board of Education. I think that's an important contact, and she's a phenomenally competent person to work with. I'm really glad to hear that. Secondly, what are the gender differences in this trafficking? For instance, is it a ratio of women to men, or boys to girls, or girls to boys? Is it great? I know there are some male males trafficked also, but I'm just wondering about the ratio.
Yes, 90 in the U.S. 90% just wanted to also mention one thing that I forgot to mention. Thank you so much for your question. When I spoke at all those speaking engagements, people's belief of human trafficking, and maybe the chief will confirm, is that it's all these foreign women coming into the U.S., which is not true. This is a myth. 90% of women and girls in sex trafficking are U.S. citizens. So that's one. And
wow.
Yet, there are male victims of human trafficking. I have to go to the portal. I will get that answer to you. From Polaris, the Polaris Project keeps statistics, because this is basically their National Human Trafficking Hotline. They keep statistics on that. I had a slide, but I hid it because I only had 15 minutes. So I will get that information for you, if that's okay with you. But that's a very
important question. And thank you for that. And I have another comment to make. I know that your group's largest goal, or your focus, is on prevention, which makes the most sense. But I'm wondering if you have treatment programs for the trafficker, the trafficked individuals who come through that you deal with, like, for instance, any mental health groups, the American Psychological Association, any other. I'm getting at this because there could be a volunteer group set up to help these people, you know, with registered, licensed psychotherapists. For instance, I have been very empathetic to wounded warriors over the years. And I've gone to veterans hospitals to do free therapy. And I'm wondering if there's anything that you could do like that for these trafficked individuals who suffer the mental and physical consequences for a lifetime.
Yes. May I put you in touch, because we concentrate on prevention, may I put you in touch with Lynn Tran, who's the administrator for the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force, and also Waymakers, which basically is an umbrella of all these services that are provided to victims. If I may do that, I will get, if it's okay with you, your email address from Norma or Jamie, and then I will put you together with them through it.
Yeah, please do. Please do that. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your offer. Because mental health is a large portion of getting over such a trauma, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Chairman Mike Reynolds, I just have a comment to add. Thank you, sir. Rima, thank you for this presentation, and I put it in the chat if you can share this with the commission, your presentation you did. It's it gives us a lot of detail. And I know you had an ask of the commission in your presentation if we can partner, and I'm going to bring this up to the floor and to the commission itself to take it into consideration. We obviously report to the County Board of Supervisors, so we don't make decisions on issues. But I think we can definitely see how we can address that and take it under advisement.
Thank you. And may I share that page with you so you know who else is a partner with us?
Yes,
please do so.
Okay. So this is the California Coalition to End Child Marriage. So we have a survivor portion, then we have organizations, and so we have all these organizations. As you know, this is a nonpartisan issue, and I'm happy to say that's why we've been able to get the votes for our resolution to pass unanimously, because everybody understands this is about ending child abuse. So this is the organization's part, and that's where you'll be listed. Then we have an elected officials section, and we also have community leaders section. So this is where the Orange County Human Trafficking, the Orange County Human Relations Commission would be.
Thank you.
Yes, very, very much so. Thank you very much. This is it's a growing problem that people don't realize. I think average Americans don't realize how prevalent this is in their own country, in their own community. They think it's something that happens in foreign countries, far off lands, thousands of miles away, and it happens in the schools that their children attend. And so the more people know about this, the more we'll be able to combat it. Thank you so much for the work you're doing on this, and I hope that the commission will be in a position to assist in whatever capacity we're legally able to. Any final questions before we bid our speaker farewell?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, so why don't we, we have our open forum at this point. Are there members of the community who have been able to log into the meeting?
We have one attendee, so I don't know if they wish to speak, if they could hit *9. And I apologize, I don't know if it's a new setting for Zoom or if it's the new account that I'm using for the first time. If the settings are off, I'm going to look into this and figure out why it's making people put in a password, because it shouldn't do that. So I'll have this fixed by the next meeting. So I apologize for that. But if the person, who did call in, if you wish to speak, please hit *9. And nope.
Okay. Before we move on to item number five, which is in Commissioner Faruqi's wheelhouse there, I was going to ask, going back to our speaker presentation, since you have contacts with Ms. Rashashibi, would you, Fareed, be in a position to maybe give us a list of asks again from her? Because I kind of I wasn't taking very good notes in the position that I'm at. I'm actually not in my office this morning, but I would love to have the list of her asks so that we can maybe have a meeting set up, maybe even set up an ad hoc commission or an ad hoc committee to discuss what it is we can do to help in this important project.
Yes, Commissioner, I can do that. I can reach out to her offline and get some details and see how we can assist. I think it's a worthy cause. It borderlines hate crimes as well, because I think it kind of has a pour-over effect as well. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Fareed. Let's move on to item number five.
Okay, item number five is listening session ad hoc updates.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. I want to thank the committee that is working on it, the ad hoc committee. And we just got update. We are set to host this on February 26, 2021 from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. It's dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic has exposed the magnitude of health inequities in the U.S., the devastating numbers and infection, and we know with the vaccine rollout as well, the challenges that still exist. So we have confirmations of speakers. We have the director of Orange County Health Agency, Mr. Clayton Chow, and then just earlier today, this morning actually, Commissioner Amy was able to get confirmation of the director for Orange County Asian Pacific Islanders Community Health, Mary Ann Pho, I believe. So we have two of the panelists who will be conducting this discussion. And Norma has already started to put the flyer and the details together, and she can share a little bit more on that. And we need the help of the commissioners to get the word out so that we have a better attendance and people can benefit. This is a very current, ongoing issue and how that impacts communities within Orange County. So I think that the ad hoc committee has done a wonderful job. I want to thank each of them and Norma for leading this and making it possible.
Yeah, just to piggyback on Commissioner Faruqi's announcement, the flyer has been sent to Renee and her staff for final review and approval. So as soon as we are able to get that, we will be able to begin the process of outreach. All commissioners will get the announcement with the flyer, and then we'll reach out to all of our networks to begin to push hard. I know the county in the last event the commission has hosted, they've been able to put out media release, press releases, so I imagine they'll do that the same with this. So we'll make a huge push for this, and we really are looking forward to the speakers, and we're sure that because it's so timely that we're going to get a good attendance and response. So congratulations to the ad hoc. They did an amazing job of finding some amazing speakers for this.
Norma, this is Renee. Are you there? We haven't received anything. I just checked with Jenna, and she hasn't received anything yet.
Because we just got confirmation. I just sent it like 5 minutes ago.
I'm looking at my email. I don't see anything from you. Can you double check on that?
Yes.
Is it still coming through? Is it a big file?
Just sent.
Okay. Well... All right. Your update sounded like we got it a week ago, so I just wanted to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So we'll be getting it today for review.
Just heard about the confirmation of the last speaker this morning, so I just made the changes to the flyer and sent it about at 11:50, so 7 minutes ago.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Okay. Let's move on to the next item.
Okay, item number 6 is Commission Staff Reports to Know Better Anti-Hate Campaign and Police Community Relations Program.
Hi, thank you, Jamie. So, can I get screen share privileges?
You should have it. As a panelist, you should be able to.
This is special, thank you. So we're gonna start with the To Know Better campaign update. Brittany was incredible in helping me put together a PowerPoint presentation for you to see the winners. So let me bring that up. All right. Give me a thumbs up if you see this. Yes, great. So, as you all might be aware, in mid-December, we wrapped up the To Know Better campaign. And earlier this month, the county was able to announce the winners of each of the districts. So we have 5-minute winners that were identified based on the scoring that some of you gave, and then also the Board of Supervisors had an opportunity to judge the entries. So thank you so much for all of those who advocated for this, pushed for this, that participated in the process. And here are our winners. So our first winner pair is from Samueli Academy. Submitted by Caitlin Nguyen and Sam Naismith, and they are from District 1. Their campaign motto and logo is "I am not." Their message was to encourage people not to label other people based on how they look, and essentially not to stereotype people, discriminate, and based on the label they assign to that person. So I am going to try to see if I'm able. Oops. Okay, I guess I'm not able to do that from here. Okay, I wanted to show what the submission looks like. I guess I can't. The links aren't embedded. So give me a second here while I try to bring this up for you. So, apologize here, my internet is really slow. There it is. Okay. So this is the campaign that Samueli Academy submitted. There's their purpose. Here's their style guide. So what they did is they put together the colors of their campaign, with the messaging, the text would look like. So you can see some of the versions here that they use, the colors they're using, the typography they're going to be using for their campaign, the logos, some of the merchandise they're looking at for their for on-campus campaign, some of the stickers, labels, the script, the color of their skin, the shape of their body, who they love, where they are from, does not indicate who they are. They are not an immigrant. They are not the Chinese virus. They are not a terrorist. They are not a sin. They are not a stereotype. So here's the storyboard for, I believe it's going to be a video that they're hoping to put together. And here's their animation. So you can tell that they actually put in the work to really solidify something that they really would be able to work on and launch for their campus. I don't know that I'm, oh, this doesn't have audio, so this is just part of the, from the storyboard, this is the video they put together. There's no audio yet, so. So that is submission winners number one. So that's from District 1. Now for District 2, the winners are from Los Alamitos High. Empathy, not judgment, no stigma. This is an actual video link. So give me a second. None of these are embedded. So sorry. So I'm going to have to go to our no hate winners page. It'll be easier for me to do that. Winning entries. Okay. So for district number 2, oh.
Not sure what you mean.
Can you
a pandemic is something that affects the whole world, not just Los Al. Oh, okay, I get it. Do you know what a social stigma is? No, what's that? One example is when a person is singled out because they may have a specific disease. It is like stereotyping or labeling people.
That doesn't seem fair.
It isn't fair. However, the current COVID-19 outbreak has provoked this kind of reaction in some people.
Why has it caused this stigma?
There are three main reasons. One, it is a disease that's new and there are still many unknowns. Two, people are often afraid of the unknown. Three, it is easy to associate that fear with others.
How should people address this social stigma?
The best way is to show empathy towards those affected and by adopting safe and practical measures to keep oneself and loved ones safe.
I guess there's a lot of confusion and anxiety associated with this. It is too bad these...
Hello?
These efforts, along with others, help make our school the safest it can be for all students.
Do talk about it. Talk about people who have COVID-19. Or people who are being treated for COVID-19. Do not refer to people with the disease as COVID-19 cases or victims.
Do talk about acquiring or contracting COVID-19. Do not talk about people transmitting COVID-19, infecting others, or spreading the virus. This implies intentional transmission and assigns blame. Using this kind of language creates the impression that those with the disease have somehow done something wrong.
Do speak accurately about the risk of COVID-19. Based on scientific data and the latest health advice, do not repeat rumors and avoid using terms such as the plague.
Do emphasize the importance of adopting effective measures to prevent acquiring the coronavirus. Do encourage those around you to wash their hands and wear their masks.
Stigma hurts everyone by creating more fear or anger toward ordinary people instead of focusing on the disease that is causing the problem.
Facts, not fear, will stop the spread of COVID-19. Challenge myths and stereotypes. Choose your words carefully. The way we communicate can affect the attitude of others.
Remember, we are all part of the Griffin family. Please be mindful of those who have gone through this. Treat others the way you would like to be treated.
All right. So that was District 2 winners. District 3, it was... sort of a graphic, so there was a couple different people who collaborated on this, I think. They're from Woodbridge High in Irvine, and the team's name is Chloe Wang, Future by Us. So as you can see, it's an amazing painting. The description, the waves at the bottom of the art piece symbolize the racial bias, hate, and discrimination that are existing in our current society. Incited by pandemics, the challenges of racial justice lie in not only the discrimination, but also the deliberate system that results in unfair treatment and equitable opportunities. Yet after witnessing the injustices, treatments of certain races, so many equality advocates hold the arms up, strive to improve this society until everyone's voice could be heard. Ultimately, the peace represented by the flying dove will arrive in no time. People of all colors and races should unite and treat each other with trust and mutual respect for our shared bright future. So this is our District 3 winner. District 4 is also a
what? What the heck? It ended. Oh my gosh.